gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Well, Jim, yet another dream has died, and the show has not even started today.
Oh?
So, the what do you call it? That
Elan Gale.
The Twitter fight?
Yes.
On the flight over Thanksgiving?
Between Elan Gale and Diane.
All a hoax.
It was a hoax. He admitted it last night.
Let me get this straight. A reality show producer, you mean just made stuff
what?
Up?
What?
That there was an obnoxious woman 5 seats up on a flight.
Lame reality isn't really reality.
And they passed notes back and forth, and he sent her wine, and then she slapped him, and...
That's a great story,
and he
though.
Said, eat my...
Right.
And then he said, I hope they arrest you for cannibalism because you just ate my...
Right.
Yeah.
Whole thing, a hoax.
Hoax.
Is there nothing left to believe in? Really?
No, really. Not really. No.
Okay.
He creates storylines for a living.
Right.
You know,
that
okay. Reality TV should have quotation marks around it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
At least Santa Claus will be here soon.
Or an Amazon drone.
Right! There's something to look forward to. My very own Amazon drone. And then I had to read that in the Daily Beast. Are Amazon's drone plans just a fantasy? Really? Oh, come on.
There's a little bit of red tape.
The FAA has got to be, you know.
As you know, I'm an Amazon whore.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. In fact, I just made a list of two more things I forgot today that I got to order. and I need it in 15 minutes, so I'm hoping that there will be a drone.
You must be on a first-name basis with your UPS guy.
Right. Why can't we be in Rand Paul's Somalian, you know, paradise of no regulation? Just drones everywhere.
It'd be important not to mix up the killer drones with the Amazon drones, though.
So what
there
is
you go.
400
Merry Christmas.
Why can't everywhere be, you know, drones?
The hard part.
Yes. Why can't everywhere be, you know what I mean. Oh.
This is Crazy Dave with this week's crazy specials at Drone City. It's the greatest drone sale ever. General Atomics, Scaled Composites, Lockheed Martin. We have all your favorite unmanned aerial vehicles under one roof. Look at this. Autonomous recon drones. No background check required. $49.95. Remotely piloted vehicles. Ground control station included. From just $89.95. Crazy. Come on down. Free hot dogs and free balloons for the kids.
My dad got me this Predator MQ-1 attack drone with AGM Hellfire missiles. And help me set it up.
That's awesome.
Forget Iraqi freedom. It's Operation Fun for the whole family at Drone City. Remember, the FAA says that by 2015, there should be over 7,500 drones in the air over America. Make sure one of them is yours. Just grab the controls, and before they know it, you've got a bird's eye view of your neighbors.
Get out of here, you big perv.
Maximize your control over any situation with minimal risk and minimal collateral damage. Get it all on sale now at Crazy Day. Greatest drone sale ever. Remember, we will not be undersold. We cannot be undersold. We will never be undersold. And we mean it. Crazy Dave Drone City. Our prices and our product are insane.
In Lakeview, Schaumburg, Downers Grove, Aurora, Elmhurst, and Skokie.
Whether in a group or all alone, everything's better when you have your own drone, Drone City.
Yay. Like the Jetsons.
Yeah.
That'd be really great.
Jewish to Spacely.
Yeah. After the plane fight being a hoax, I want something to believe in. And then Jeff Bezos says an unmanned aircraft could be dropping books at your door in 5 years, but he glossed over the huge legal, technological, and ethical hurdles the way, according to the Daily Beast. Damn.
They've already been working on it for 2 years, though, so they've worked some of that out.
Right. Jeff Bezos, Amazon.
The hard part here is putting in all the redundancy, all the reliability, all the systems you need to say, look, this thing can't land on somebody's head.
Maybe that's what landed on Rand Paul's head.
Yeah. Maybe that's an Amazon drone on his head.
Maybe that's why it looks so unregulated. Something. Maybe that's a ShamWow or something that was delivered by drone.
It was kind of whipped up with the helicopter blades.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
He probably ordered a comb, but it didn't come. They forgot to put it in the package. And so it was freshly combed by Blades. Amazon CEO's Jeff Bezos' announcement that his company is exploring the option of delivery drones was an early Christmas present for members of the unmanned aircraft systems community. I did not know there was such a community, or UAS, as they're called, among advocates. It's really valuable to us that such a big player as Amazon is entering this arena, said the founder of the Professional Society of Drone Journalists. They sound boring.
Drone journalists?
Right? They sound boring.
That exists?
A bunch of drones.
They just
That's
drone
a thing?
On and on and
what are their,
on.
What are their conferences
and
like?
On and on.
And
I'm droning.
And
are
furthermore.
Droning too? And then that happened.
Where are you going? Another drone convention.
A drone convention.
It just feels like it goes on and on.
And on and on and on.
And in conclusion. No, they are an organization dedicated to...
Hello, he droned.
Helping UAS systems for reporters. A company that big could have a lot of pull. They may be able to help regulations open up for other people, making UAS more feasible for everyone. Wouldn't that be great? Just an unregulated paradise,
completely
like many of the libertarians want, right?
Any idiot could be flying 17 drones at the same
right.
time.
Right. No stop signs and nothing. Jetsons on crack. Under current regulations, it's near impossible, he said of Amazon's plan. See, that's what we got to do. Get rid of the regulations.
Yeah.
Things that restrain eye doctors in Kentucky from operating on your eyes with a rusty spoon, for instance.
Sure.
Who got their degrees at lens crafters. You know, things like that. Things that drag us down.
Airline pilots who've had 2 hours in the Cessna, you know,
right.
close enough.
Right, go! You remember when I was a camp counselor in college for a camp for overprivileged children here in L.A., and they made us drive a school bus?
And,
they certified us in, like, I don't know, 14 hours. Yep, you're good to go.
Yeah, and it was a manual. You didn't know
right,
how to use
right.
a clutch.
And I'm a bad driver anyway. They're like, here's your class two. Good luck. Good luck with the kids.
Rich parents trusted you with their children?
I don't think I ever made a turn without hitting curbs. I was like... Really?
I'm sure the kids loved
you.
It was like a roller coaster ride.
Yes. Whee! Yes, except for the day that I almost killed all their goldfish, because they all won goldfish, so they were all carrying them in bags.
In goldfish.
And there was a lot of screaming. There was a lot of children screaming that day. You killed her! You're killing our fish! Oh, shut up. Pour me some more wine. No, I did not say that. I did not. That was in my pre
Because you'd already poured your own wine.
Pour me another grasshopper is what you said.
Ew.
Here, put your goldfish and Chardonnay and shut up. It's fine.
They'll be happier. Well, they'll be dead, but, you know, they'll be drunk at least.
Oh, boy. It's dark humor day. Okay. Per Bezos' descriptions, the Amazon drones would fly below 400 feet. Yikes, and weigh less than 55 pounds, so they would fall outside the scope of, you know, the FAA rules.
Whatever.
Because it's low enough.
Right.
Right.
Because there are, like, toy drones that you can get right now that
right.
are controlled by remote control.
Right. So imagine just the entire airspace below 400 feet just thick with those.
Whew. That would be like the Jetsons freeway, you know? Uh-huh.
But only that's below- what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's Jetsons time. We cannot stop this crazy thing once we start it.
Change, stop this crazy thing!
Those regulations, he explained, will apply to larger unmanned aircraft that will share national airspace, which begins above 400 feet with Boeing 747s and more.
Yeah, you don't want to get one of those sucked into your engines.
Right, then, you know, there's no problem with birds.
Yeah.
Oh, great, Amazon drone sucked into our engine.
If my three-pack of underwear gets sucked into an engine,
right,
I'll be pissed.
Right. Oh, because you're gonna, because you care, you don't get your underwear. Now the plane went down. You're like, oh,
yeah, I didn't get my
underwear. Where's my three pack?
Right,
just slightly singed.
Well, on the tech side, the biggest issue is safety. You think? While the Amazon drones would likely spend the duration of their flight at an altitude high enough to protect humans from their blades. Oh, there's blades. That's nice.
Well,
I wonder if my Ginsu knives are here.
Well, there are eight of them, because they're
right.
octocopters.
Oh,
there are eight of them
right.
in an array.
Perfect. What could
yeah.
go wrong? What could go wrong? Nothing.
Well, I was going to get a haircut, but now I don't
oh,
need
Oh, hey,
one.
Thanks. Wow. Just barely kept the top of my head. That's close.
Okay, just a little off the top.
That was scalp. Okay. You get a free haircut with every Amazon package. Hey, okay. All right. Bezos' video on 60 Minutes shows the aircraft eventually landing on a customer's doorstep, a potentially massive liability that could propel Amazon into a legal war zone.
What if it lands on a kid who's playing out in the yard?
Right, right. Well, you know, in the land of Amazon drones, they're going to know better than to don't play anywhere the drone could land.
Which is anywhere.
And don't get your ball caught in the...
Excuse me?
In the you know, if you're playing with a soccer ball.
That's right.
Don't get it caught in the spokes.
Do not get your balls caught in the Amazon
copter.
Drone, Billy. How are they going to land? He said these things have spinning blades that could literally slice your fingers off. Yikes. Oh, great. My incense is here.
Oh! Ow! You buy incense off Amazon?
Uh-huh.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
Actually, that would have been funny if it were like a manicure set. Yeah. Like the gift of the Magi. Oh, okay. Okay, now I don't. I can't. No, I don't need that.
You're an Amazon Prime member,
right?
Because
I have no fingers.
You're an Amazon Prime member.
Right.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, good. With all that free shipping.
Beyond safety, right. Yeah. Navigating through the legal minefield of regulations could take as long as a decade. Unless, of course, we have a President Rand Paul. Also, there is privacy to consider, according to the Daily Beast. While 400 feet is technically below the national airspace, it's not necessarily free space. Federal regulations mandate that individuals have access to enough of the sky above them to exercise full enjoyment of their land. If an Amazon drone flies over your summer barbecue, can you call the cops?
What if they're flying your kite in your yard?
Well, in our Second Amendment paradise, you could just shoot them, I suppose. So it would be like Somalia every day.
Boom!
People just blowing Amazon drones out of the sky.
Like hey, so look, many free stuff.
Like so many clay pigeons. While he's thankful, this the unmanned aircraft
guy,
drone guy. I'm the head of the drone society.
You're the drone society.
It's like a room full of Ben Steins.
See, people just run. Exactly. People just run from him at parties.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's a drone. Ben Steins. Drone.
Bueller.
An entire room, Ben Steins. While he's thankful to have Amazon as a new player in the UAS game, he predicts it could be up to 10 years before a perfectly wrapped yellow package arrives sans human on your doorstep. Mm. Well, that's a lot to wait for. Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO.
We can do half-hour delivery, and we can carry objects, we think, up to 5 pounds, which covers 86% of the items that we deliver.
Hmm. All right. Well, we'll just be here waiting. I'll be here waiting for my Amazon drone. Need something left to believe in. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we got a big show. Charlie Pierce and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. I can't get enough drone humor. See that people are already mocking up, you know, the delivery notice that you missed while you're out. we attempted a drone delivery, and then you have to check the boxes. However, no appropriate landing site could be found. The drone was running out of fuel, so dropped your package in a field somewhere to reduce weight. Your package has been destroyed along with the drone after it strayed into restricted airspace.
Yeah, that could happen.
Hey, when that happens. Drone reached sentience and defected to join the machines in the upcoming revolution against mankind. That's checked on this particular box.
Yep.
As a result, package has been left out of reach up in a neighbor's tree. Package has been repurposed as munitions to deploy against rebel groups. We will fly again tomorrow with a camera to take pictures of your hot neighbor getting dressed. And the box that was checked here. The worker who arranged this delivery will be punished. All right. Those will be your new Amazon drone delivery while you were out.
While you were out, we set your house on fire. Sorry.
Julie says, what if a malicious underpaid Amazon warehouse worker programs the drones to chase the customers around their yards? Maybe they're just pissed if you can afford something expensive. I'm like, yeah, really? I get paid 4 cents an hour. Here's your stuff from Brookstone. Steve in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephanie and the Mooks. Third time caller, long time listener here.
Thank you.
Hello. Mm-hmm. And I was watching CBS's infomercial on Amazon the other night and thought, there is no way the Skeeters of the world will not have a field day shooting these things out of the sky, number one. Number two, we already know that Amazon does the back-end cloud computing for the NSA, so you know right now the Rand Paulites are thinking, oh, my gosh, how would anybody even know if that's dropping gifts or if they're not spying on me? Think of the implications on all this. So there's no way we'll ever see these things fly in the sky without people going crazy.
You're right. This may make Rand Paul's head explode. Because first he wants no regulations, and at the same time there would be spying involved with that many drones. So what to do? What do you do?
Pull!
Rocky Mountain. Got one. Rocky Mountain Mike says, because he had Ben Stein as a speechwriter, Richard Nixon was technically the first president to employ drones. You see? That was funny, the drone conference with an entire room full of
Ben Stein. Yes.
Every speech is as bad as the last. Okay.
My wife, Pat, has a good Republican cloth coat.
All right. By the way, how is the war on Christmas going? Do we have a new dispatch today?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
My dearest Charles, the children and I have set about decorating the house for the sacred birth of our Lord, using whatever remnants of our meager existence we can find while you are away at war. Yesterday, Tad went to Hobby Lobby and bought our traditional 20-foot Christmas tree with its 5,000 new LED lights. On sale, of course, because of the war effort. The lawn feels so empty this year, since our inflatable life-size nativity snow globe has developed a leak. So we cannot display it as we normally do. The children are so disappointed. Our tinsel supply is running low, but we'll make do this year, my love, because we know how difficult your life must be at the front. Sending all my love, your faithful wife, Cynthia.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas, coming this December on PBS.
And also, you can't get yellow onions because of the war.
We can't knock heads like we used to.
Exactly, because of the war. All right. Oh, no. Looky here. Bloomberg reports that 100,000 people signed up for health insurance through the online federal exchange last month, a roughly fourfold increase from October. Huh. Wow, you know how I can tell the war against Obamacare is changing? Because I heard a right-wing host yesterday, you know, one of the fill-ins. You know, we're in the holiday.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
But so now it's not that the website, now it's like, oh, well, anybody can sign up for it. That's the easiest thing in the world, sign up for something. Yeah, you can sign up. So now they've moved on that now it's bad. Well, you'll see. Now there's another disaster coming. It's easy to sign up. Anybody can sign up for something.
Well, you'll see how bad it is soon. Then you'll be sorry.
Oh, boy. Yes, Kathleen Sebelius tells Americans don't give up, says Obamacare site is running smoothly. They asked right after we passed our deadline for reasonable functionality. The Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius took to the pages of USA Today, boasting of the website's improvements, urging consumers who have had trouble with the site not to give up. She said there are many ways to sign up for coverage online, by phone, in person, and by mail. In many cases, you can also directly enroll through an insurance company. Mm-hmm. To those Americans who have experienced difficulties online, she said, please do not give up. There is help available. You can call our 24/7 call center at 1-800-318-2596 for assistance in 150 languages.
Ooh.
I think I'll try that just to see if that's true. you can also find in person, there's people. In-person support in your area, localhelp.healthcare.gov. For those who prefer to shop online, you may want to visit healthcare.gov in off-peak hours when there's less traffic, mornings, evenings, and on weekends. She says have your information ready when you log on, comparison shop to get the best deal. So, anyway, they're moving on to the next, horror scenario.
Sure.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I don't mind so much that you're aging. It's just the way you're shoving it down my throat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce coming up. Oh, and American Idol finalist Crystal Bowersox calling in about her new single coming out for Christmas.
That's right.
And she means that in a gay way. Very, very exciting. It's all the rage.
She came out herself earlier this year.
Right.
As bisexual.
Right, exactly. Okay. Hey, you know what a drone could deliver to your door?
What?
Sexy liberal stuff.
Ah,
tickets,
yes.
Swag. The tickets for the big final Chris Mahana Kwanzaa extravaganza of the year.
Wrapping up the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour for 2013, the Emerald City is about to get a brand new dose of hilarity.
Welcome back, Seattle.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show returns to Seattle.
No, I've never been the kind of one for that sort of self-congratulatory hoopla.
Saturday, December 14th, the Paramount Theater welcomes the return of Stephanie Miller.
The greatest radio talk show host ever.
John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks in the plush and historic Paramount Theater, which has hosted Ella Fitzgerald and the Marx Brothers. The Paramount now welcomes Stephanie Miller.
I want you to meet a very charming lady.
And it's about time.
And her special brand of sexy liberal comedy. Tickets are available by going to stgpresents.org or the Paramount box office or sexyliberal.com. Don't miss this show December 14th.
What a festive day.
This is the Sexy Liberal Show at the historic Paramount Theater.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.
Woohoo! That's next Saturday, for God's sake.
It is.
Just added Jim Ward, winging up to Seattle to MC.
And winging it.
Writing something on the way. Who cares? Jim Ward will be there. Dan Savage, celebrity panelist. Very, very exciting. And then also don't forget Phoenix coming up in February, Madison in March, Albuquerque in Saturday,
should
May 10th.
Should have in Albuquerque.
Right. Do it. Get it. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Do it. Follow it. Get the ticket links. Do it.
Do it now.
Do it. Okay. It's also, you know, it also is the season of fighting with people on Facebook and stuff, and in person with your family about politics. Marcus in Charlotte, North Carolina writes, someone posted a comment on the, about the Confederate flag on Facebook. One of my Facebook quote-unquote friends, I love that people always use quotes around friends.
Yeah.
Facebook, friends,
whatever.
With the following, the flag should fly on state grounds. It's a part of history that should not be swept under a rug. Too many thousands of soldiers lost their lives because of Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
What now?
Yeah.
What now?
Of Lincoln?
Yeah, thousands of Nazis lost their
lives
because of Eisenhower.
See? She was going, Jim got there first. That's where he was going. He said, I suppose she's correct in the same sense that many thousands of German soldiers lost their lives because of Roosevelt and Churchill.
Yeah.
True. That's not important now, Jim, because racism is over. Did you hear about
right.
that?
Oh, yeah, according to the RNC.
Right. Who better to know?
Yeah.
They rephrased it.
Right.
Yeah, so now it's all better.
Right. They ought to just not, you know, probably touch issues of race. It never ends well for them.
They don't own that.
They were trying to say something nice about Rosa Parks, I guess, and they said Rosa Parks, who ended racism.
Yeah. So racism is done.
Right.
Over with.
Right.
But they amended it now to say, in her fight to help to end racism.
Right.
They couched it.
You know what? I'm trying to be a helper. I'm giving them advice. Just hush.
Yeah.
Hush on race. It never goes well for you. The RNC has clarified, Jim. They've clarified
yes.
a tweet that erroneously declared racism is over. The original message published on Sunday was meant to commemorate the 58th anniversary of Rosa Parks' arrest for refusing to give up her bus seat to a white man. It said and suggested that the civil rights movement Mark Parks was a part of ultimately had ended racism. I thought Michelle Bachmann said our founding fathers ended racism, didn't they?
Yes.
Sure.
You know, the founding fathers that owned
slaves. They worked tirelessly, right, to end
it.
Slavery,
yeah.
As you know.
No, that would be Lincoln, President Lincoln.
Right.
Who killed so many Confederate soldiers.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because they attacked Fort Sumter. God, he's so touchy.
Anyway, they had tweeted, today we remember Rosa Parks' bold stand and her role in ending racism. The tweet did not sit well with many Twitter users who responded with a mix of snark and sarcasm.
Snarkasm.
Some snarkasm. Here's some. Hey, guys, remember racism? One person tweeted, oh, racism ended. Thanks for the update. Probably tweeted by someone named Kyle. Someone else wrote.
Kyle!
Oh, thanks, Kyle. someone named Carly said, it's okay. We don't need you winning an election anytime soon anyway. Keep up the thoughtful tweets. The RNC clarified its tweet several hours later, though it did not delete the original.
Mm.
They tweeted, previous tweet should have read, "Today we remember Rosa Parks' bold stand and her role in fighting to end
her
racism."
Better.
Magical now. Sure. Just so ham-handed.
ham.
The apologies for the racist statements are always funnier and more racist than the original thing that they said.
Yeah. And along those same lines, Republicans need to stop claiming Martin Luther King Jr. as a Republican.
Right.
Yeah.
That needs to end right now.
That's because the Dixiecrats were still around.
Right. Oh, by the way, love story about Obamacare. Cliff in Miami. Love and Obamacare.
Oh.
Steph, without exception, every single one of my right-wing relatives who have children under 26 years old added them to their health insurance. Thanks, Obama. I'm sure they said that. Did they? I found out this Thanksgiving that my Rush Limbaugh-loving father-in-law went on the exchange and purchased health insurance for his 44-year-old son. Ooh, that seems like a handout. That seems like a...
yeah.
Socialism.
Socialist. That's laser handout.
When push comes to shove, no matter how conservative, a caring person is going to check out the prices and buy insurance for the people they love. Fox News and right-wing hate radio be damned. The health care of your loved ones trumps all the bull. Cliff in Miami. 44? What a fucker.
Yeah.
Wow. That's one of them. They're 47%ers, it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. And then let's see. Marcy in Highland Park, Illinois writes, Stephanie Mooks, so it seems there was too much traffic on Costco's photo center website this weekend, and I could not seem to get my holiday cards done quickly.
Thanks, Obama.
Right? Oh, the wait time. And I had to keep going back and redoing as the save project option seemed to go nowhere. My question, should Costco be completely dismantled or just their photo center? Or does this just prove that allowing ordinary Americans access to create their own greeting cards is a bad idea and should be scrapped? I would like to hear Yertle or the Orange Man's opinion. Just saying, Marcy. That was some sarcasm as well.
Yes.
Snark. Awesome. Good word, Jim. Combination snark and sarcasm. I don't know what's happening with my...
Yeah, you got some spilkas in your connector gazoin.
I need an Amazon drone to deliver lozenges immediately.
Would you like a sucrets?
Well, how about some more cheese?
Do those still exist? My
sucrets?
Mom used to have sucrets in her purse.
My mom did, too.
They were gross, weren't they?
They were in that little tin, like an Altoids tin.
Yeah, but it tasted like cherry ass.
Yeah. Yeah, Altoids, there's another bad idea.
Oh, Altoids. Well,
Altoids are curiously strong.
Yeah. Do you really need that much mint?
No, really. Exactly. I'm not curious to have something that strong in my mouth.
Jim DeMint is too much mint.
Right?
Yes.
Exactly. He's curiously minty, he is.
Yeah.
And all his junior DeMints as well. All right. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, talking about the healthcare website.
We have seen a steady improvement in the site. And that improvement continued over the weekend and today.
Oh, no.
Improvement? Damn it!
Jamel Bowie writes in Daily Beast, they just don't care if healthcare.gov works or not. I mean, this is what's hilarious, is watching them spinning. Healthcare.gov is well on its way to full stability, but Republicans refuse to acknowledge it. No matter the facts, the GOP is committed to the message that Obamacare has failed. It wasn't that long ago when Republicans were deeply concerned over the quality of the president's healthcare website.
Concern Troll was very concerned.
Right, Concern Trolls, as you recall, just last week were very, very concerned.
That's right. By the way, I have an update.
Yes, sir.
Sucrets are still available on Amazon.
Oh, yay! I can get them. Face full of sucrets from an Amazon drone. Yeah, I don't know. You know what? A sucret might be the answer, because it's that thing where it's not a cold or an allergy. It's just somebody took a claw hammer down the back of my throat.
Oh, okay.
It's a little dry spot there.
All right.
Yeah, all right, it's perfect for radio.
Okay.
Tastes like cherry ass.
It does. Who thought of sucrates? Okay. Blah, blah, blah. So, RNC chairman writes... Freebus.
Hello, Ewan.
He said that Obamacare is collapsing under its own weight.
It's collapsing under its own weight.
He should be in that drone organization.
I told you there was going to collapse in the original way, but you didn't believe me.
Do you think anyone's ever gotten caught at a cocktail party next to, like, him and Ted Cruz talking?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, I got a thing with the...
The administration responded to all this criticism and more with a promise that healthcare.gov would work for the majority of users by December 1st, and it does. Healthcare.gov is on the fast track to full stability, which will be a significant boost to the law and its prospects, Jamel Bowie writes in Daily Beast. Given to the extent to which Republicans were so concerned with the status of the website, you'd think they'd greet this as good news. No.
Computer says no.
Even that, however, is too generous for Republicans who can't concede any goodwill to the president's health care law. The website is the least of Obamacare problems, tweeted Senator John Cornyn. See, that's how you know they've already moved on.
Right.
Oh, well, fine. The website works now, but, oh, well. It's like, what? I thought it was the most important thing in the world last week.
But the website is failing. You can't. It's working
now? All right, it's fixed.
Crap. Damn it. I hate it when a plan comes together.
It reminds me of Jim when some little thing is wrong technically. Oh, look at this. I can't. Never mind. It's fixed.
Yep.
And then it's on to something else, mm-hmm. right? Oh, how yeah. are the radiation levels from Fukushima currently?
I don't know yet.
Not good. Okay.
It's probably best that we don't know.
Did you get a snack stuck in the machine?
No.
No.
Boy, we hear about it when you do, though.
All right. Everything's fine now. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh boy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Chris in Yankton writes, that's all you need when you have a sore throat, Steph, getting strafed with Sucrets by an Amazon drone. Maybe the follow-up strike could drop Velamints.
Velamints!
Velamints!
Wow!
Velamints.
Do those still exist?
I do not know. You would think I would have a Sucret with a dog hair on it in the bottom of my purse, and I bet I do. Who can say?
I looked in the break room to see if there's anything like that.
You can buy Velamints on Amazon, too.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, thank God.
Good.
There's a Velamint shortage.
Uh-oh. Look out. It's a crisis.
Stop the presses.
All right. L.A. Times, like it or not, Obamacare is moving forward. It's just, the president's carny.
We were able to make the necessary improvements to the website so that the vast majority of Americans who use the website have... an experience in which the site functions effectively.
Yeah, it's all bad news for Republicans. Oh, by the way, Charlie Pierce was as irritated as I was by Meet the Press.
Oh.
As usual. And the Republican tool they had on. Greg Sargent in the LA Times says healthcare.gov just tweeted that more than 375,000 people mm-hmm. had visited the refurbished federal website as of noon today. So demand still appears to be there despite weeks of awful press and the website about and weeks of Republican claims the law is so disastrously flawed it cannot be rescued. And he said the most important sentence in there, if you need to buy health coverage via healthcare.gov, you can do it. This isn't a good story, isn't as good a story as the website's implosion was, and if the site continues to function as expected, it'll mostly stop getting media coverage. How about that? Where's all the follow-up stories on, oh my God, now it's working really? Oh, never mind. The press will move on to the next Obamacare disaster story. And I mean, that's what I was saying. There is no liberal media. It's just, it's all like, where's a bad story? The president's carny again.
More people are visiting the site and are able to effectively go from beginning to end when it comes to enrolling than was the case in October and in November.
Oh, I'm sure that's because of all the help that Republicans have offered along those lines. Could you take out your funeral organ for
yes.
me, please? Thanks so much. Brian Butler in Salon, rest in peace. Obamacare repeal movement crusade is officially muerto. Right. He says the repeal campaign burning itself out. Even he's talking about despite all the, you know, glitches, etc.
And anomalies.
Right, the
anomalies.
Right.
And glitches.
And if healthcare.gov holds up today and through the end of the year, it'll be dead. You wouldn't notice that if your main point of contact with the right is on Twitter or mass emails from fringe conservative pressure groups. But among elected Republicans, particularly GOP leaders, repeal has become a purely rhetorical posture. Now that it's December, Republicans facing accelerating enrollment across the country and the thinning calendar, healthcare.gov is much improved, still improving, and the House is set to adjourn on December 13th for the remainder of the year. How will we know when they've adjourned? Will they stop? Will things stop getting done? Is that...
See what you did there.
When it returns, hundreds of thousands of people who've already successfully enrolled will actually be insured, and their ranks will be swelling. In the months ahead...
Does Obamacare cover swelling?
Yes. In the months ahead, Republicans will squeeze every drop of political juice they can out of every Obamacare failure and hardship they can unearth or spin into existence. But the goal won't be repeal. It'll be to channel the rights of Obamacare obsession into the voter turnout in 2014, at which point millions of people will be insured and the law will be unrepealable. I think the hopelessness of the repeal campaign, the absence of a viable legislative vehicle, the turning tide of healthcare.gov, the initiation of insurance benefits is becoming clear to elected Republicans, and its dying embers will be fully extinguished by early next year. And see. Nice try, though.
Damn it, it's working. Crap.
Jeffrey Zients.
Zients. Zo Zients.
Zo Zients.
Tell us he's about the dirty.
He's the healthcare.gov. He's the fixer.
He is.
He's the equalizer. Fixer guy.
Site has been performing well in terms of response times and error rates. And no, there has not been a need to deploy the queuing system at this point.
Deploy the queuing system? Oh, meaning, right.
Right. If there's an overload, it puts you into a queue.
Right.
Yes. You can wait for it to come back up again.
Right. No need. Okay. By the by, here's the only good news. Because we thought, guess what what season we're almost close to? Christmas? Hanukkah? No. Shutdown. Government shutdown season.
Oh, God, again?
But it looks like... if the U.S. government shuts down again in mid-January, it won't be because the House Republicans are demanding repeal of the president's health care law. There are no plans to tie a repeal vote to a government funding bill, said one senior House GOP aide. Although they said that before, then remember they got teabagged and cruised and whatever else.
I think even Ted Cruz learned his lesson with that.
It's hard to say. The talking points House Republicans prepared for the Thanksgiving break included a conspicuously bolded line: Republicans are still committed to full repeal, but that section was overshadowed by various suggestions of ways lawmakers could attack Obamacare and highlight its shortcomings instead.
Right.
Isn't that helpful? I think, anyway, but that's everybody's been talking about that, these talking points they sent out, just ways to keep, trying to be... bastard people about it. Not anything about helping actual people get insurance or anything like
whatever.
Anything like that. It's just more how they can gum up the works. I was talking about John Cornyn. He tweeted, "So Obamacare is fixed now that the website's been improved, not on your life." I don't. Timothy Egan wrote a great piece, Rooting for Failure. I mean, that's all they're doing now. They're continuing to root for and hope for and... he writes, the Republican Party started a failure campaign earlier this year. The memo I was just talking about outlined a far-reaching, multi-level assault on the Affordable Care Act. Horror stories, people losing their lousy health insurance will be highlighted, and computer snafus celebrated. It's hard to remember a time when a major political party and its media arm were so actively rooting for fellow Americans to lose. That is a key sentence. When the first attempt by the U.S. to launch a satellite into orbit in 1957 ended in disaster, did Democrats start to cheer and unify to stop a space program in its infancy? Or when Medicare got off to a confusing start, did Republicans of the mid-60s wrap their entire political future around a campaign to deny government-run health care to the elderly? Of course not. But for the entirety of the Obama era, Republicans have consistently been cheerleaders for failure. They've rooted for the economic recovery to sputter, for gas prices to spike, the job market to crater, the rescue of the American automobile industry to fall apart. I mean, it's true. This is not really much different than, what they've been rooting for all along. Does this mean we throw in the towel, return to a status quo in which insurance companies routinely cancel policies, deny health care to people with pre-existing conditions, and have their own death panel treatment for patients who reach a cap in medical benefits? The Republican plan would do just that because they have no plan to crush crush the nation's fledgling experiment. Sometimes they bring out vouchers or tort reform or some combination of catchphrases. He includes some Sarah Palin word salad.
Oh, God, no.
Usually just, you know. Yeesh. Little catchphrases and sort of half-baked ideas
right.
are kind of whipped into a little frappe.
Maybe quarter-baked.
A little frappe.
You're giving her too much credit for half-baked.
Yeah. 58 minutes after.
It becomes a lava cake. You know, kind of half-baked. Right. It just oozes after you cut into it.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Oh, yeah, it is. Why? Because Charlie Pierce is coming up this hour. Cha. 6 minutes after the hour. Next hour, American Idol finalist Crystal Bowersox with her new song coming out for Christmas. And she means that in a big gay way.
She does.
Hooray! 1-800-STEP-12.
Oh, Bowersox.
The callback to 1998.
I understand. It doesn't matter. It's in this connective tissue time of radio in between Thanksgiving and Christmas when we don't... It's just all...
When we don't what?
Radio filler.
When we don't what?
Work.
Okay.
No. I'm doing the best I can. Okay. It's, because it's the season, Jim. It's the war on Christmas, baby.
War on Christmas, darling. It's a fart, that's true. But we can see O'Reilly scream. So I'm paranoid with you.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. All right. By the way, here's a Christmas story. Man arrested for throwing money at Black Friday shoppers. He's just a giver like us. A not-so-secret Santa, who claimed he was just trying to spread some holiday cheer after a really tough year, was arrested on Black Friday for making it snow dollar bills on the heads of Mall of America shoppers.
Okay.
Why is that a crime exactly?
I don't know.
He was throwing up from a balcony and
if he's throwing silver dollars, I could see it would be
right.
No, but it caused a commotion. People trying to reach for the money that was floating, and people could have fallen over the side.
Come on! It's not like you're trying to get a towel.
Dollar. It's a dollar.
It's not like you're trying to get a towel at Walmart.
You'd be surprised at what craziness money can inspire.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. Is that new?
That's new.
It's like how berserk people go on Oprah's Favorite Things.
Yeah.
Even towards the, like, the sentiments at the end.
Yeah.
It's a pencil eraser. But what?
You get an eraser and you get an eraser.
Right. Everybody's in such a frenzy by then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it when it's a car or something, but then by the end, it's like, what? What are you screaming about? It's Oprah. Oh, I have
it's
some earwax. It's some of my earwax.
Ow.
Ow.
What?
That's the end of Oprah's Favorite Things. She'd take the wax back.
Yeah.
Ow! And then she'd hear. Oh, my God, it's Oprah's earwax. Okay, anyway, he was filmed dropping $1,000 in singles from the mall's third floor mm-hmm. on shoppers gathered below. He even timed the money drop with the choir's performance of Let It Snow.
Aww.
For added effect. How festive. Between his horrible divorce and losing his car hauling business, he said he used his last $1,000 in an effort to spread some positivity.
Aww.
Good for him. He even invited his estranged wife to attend the festivities, but she rejected the offer.
Yeah, of course she did. Yeah.
Asked by the AP what he hoped to gain from the stunt, he said he just wanted his wife to give him back his cat.
Aww. She stole his cat.
Right? Give him back his cat.
Of course, some more people buy the cat food now because he spent his last $1,000, but...
Right. Well, there's that.
Well, he also had to post bail.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, dear.
Well, I would, except I just threw away $1,000!
Maybe that wasn't the best plan, no. As it turns out. Maybe it was not well thought out. Maybe he can get Mark O'Mara to work for free.
That'd be awesome. I'd love working for free. Not! Where my money at, bitch?
Do we think that was an actual phone call between Mark O'Mara and George Zimmerman? Where my money at, bitch?
Probably.
Perhaps. Okay. Oh, by the way, where's my Sarah Palin music? This is the word salad I had promised you on healthcare. Because they were saying that they have no plan to replace Obamacare. Just some basic, you know, some sort of half-baked ideas and little catchphrases and sort of... This is what she said. Oh, she told Matt Lauer this. The plan is to allow, what's the Republican plan then, if you repeal Obamacare? Mm-hmm.
Oh, this ought to be good.
The plan is to allow those things that have been proposed over many years to reform a health care system in America that certainly does need more help so that there's more competition, there's less tort reform threat, there's less trajectory of the cost increases, and those plans have been proposed over and over. And what thwarts those plans? It's the far left.
Huh?
That's the plan. Hmm. Well... That's it.
The plan is to do those things that have been done in the past and will have had been done in
we'll
the future.
Have
past.
Will. There's a war on like perfect tense, isn't there?
No,
there is.
No talk good can not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A war on periods.
Right. Not that kind.
Not that kind.
Right. Punctuation.
No. A war on commas.
It precedes the pace.
Yes, it does.
Those things that have been done to stop the use of the commas also, and also
tort reform. Insurance, state lines, things like this, of this nature that have happened before and will have then been done previously.
By someone.
And same. Okay. Anyway, I was reading this piece about, them just rooting for failure. That's really what they're doing. That's not really that bag of whatever that was. It's not really ideas. They're just kind of
it's not a bag
a mishmash
of
things.
Yep.
No, it's
you got a bag of vipers. You know you got
it's a
some.
Political bag of glass. This is not really anything that will be helpful to anybody. Where were the news conferences, the Fox News alerts? The parading of people who couldn't get their life-saving cancer treatments under the old system. Where was the media attention when thousands of people were routinely dumped once they got sick? When did Republicans in Congress hold an oversight hearing on the leading cause of personal bankruptcy, medical debt?
Oh, I remember. Never.
Yeah, Mike Rogers, Republican Mike Rogers on Meet the Press. His concern seemed so newfound. So blinky new.
Concerned troll is very concerned.
Right. All of that is what we had before, and all of that is what we will return to if some version of the Affordable Care Act is not made workable. Republicans have a decent chance in next year's elections of killing the dream of progressive presidents going back to Teddy Roosevelt, but they shouldn't count on it. What's going against them or any party invested in failure is that Americans are inherently optimistic. That may be enough to save Obamacare. Thank you. Oh, by the way, speaking of holiday gifts,
yeah.
Guess what the cooch, his parting gift to Virginia is? No recognition of same-sex couples.
Computer says no.
Oh, great.
Washington Post saying Virginia may be for lovers, but for same-sex couples who already had to go elsewhere to tie the knot, tax time could present new burdens. The reason is a recent decision by Virginia's tax collectors to treat gay couples differently than the IRS does. The Virginia Department of Taxation, after consulting with
the
recently defeated Cooch, has ruled that the state will not conform to the U.S. to the IRS new tax treatment of same-sex married couples because state law and state constitutional amendment prohibit recognition of gay marriage. As a result, gay couples must now file their federal tax returns as married couples, either jointly or separately, but will have to file Virginia tax returns as single individuals. Isn't that neat? Isn't
great.
That great.
Thanks, Cooch.
Thanks, Cooch. Thanks a lot.
Can't Terry McAuliffe, overturn that?
Well, they're talking to him, but they were saying it's difficult with these constitutional amendments.
Oh,
it's so anyway, we shall see. Oh, hey, did you see the latest? Thanks, Obama. Obama closes the Vatican embassy, not from the Onion.
Yeah,
the embassy not actually closing. It's relocating to a larger U.S. compound in Rome, a move that will save more than $1.4 million to bolster security. Vatican officials even dismissed the relocation as a non-issue.
Right.
But not in right-wing world.
Thanks, Obama.
No, they're saying it's a slap in the face of Catholics.
Right. The internet is ablaze with some fairly shocking news. Obama is closing the Vatican embassy.
No.
He's...
Obama's call to close the Vatican embassy is a slap in the face to Roman Catholics, proclaims the Washington Times. Drudge report, Obama insults Catholics and Vatican embassy shutdown. WorldNet Daily. Oh, Breitbart reports the Obama administration is trying to diminish and discredit the Vatican's role in the world because it's pro-life, pro-family, and pro-religious freedom values at odds with the regime's pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage.
The regime.
Have these people heard the Pope lately?
No, they're not.
No.
By the way, here's the fun facts. There are no embassies for any country in Vatican City itself.
Right.
There is simply no room.
It's
no
a tiny little place.
No room at the end.
Yeah.
No.
Where are you going to put it? The Sistine Chapel? I don't think so.
No. All countries locate their embassies in the city of Rome. The U.S. has decided to move its embassy from its current location and unremarkable converted residence to the same compound as the U.S. embassy to Italy.
Slap in the face to somebody somehow in some way.
The new building's actually a tenth of a mile closer to the Vatican than the old one.
Aha!
Gotcha!
My point!
There will be no reduction in staff or activities.
Crap.
The National Republican Senatorial Committee launched a petition last week to protest what it described as the latest anti-religion pursuit by the Obama administration, but it looks like the group is already abandoning its crusade. A webpage that took aim at President Obama for his plans to close the U.S. Embassy to the Vatican is nowhere to be found. Oh, it's been disappeared from the website. Oh, but you know who's still upset about it?
Jebby?
He had already joined the NRSC's condemnation, wondering on Twitter if the closure was the White House retribution for Catholic organizations opposing Obamacare.
Jebby. Obamacare?
God, is this how desperate they are? This is all they got?
I thought you were the smart one.
Yeah, he's
sending
an Amazon drone to take out the Vatican. That's what the president's doing.
Didn't Cardinal Dolan just say that the Catholic Church probably should have been a better proponent of Obamacare?
Oh, actually, he said that the only reason they're against it is one of the big reasons because it does not include undocumented immigrants. How's he doing now? How is he doing on that with the House Republicans? Anybody? Is he getting any support on that?
What Jeb Bush said was stupid.
Oh, Jeb.
Deeply profoundly stupid.
Usually
smart
expect
one.
That from me.
He's a smart one.
Herp derp. Doy.
Oh, golly, I missed him. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour from Esquire.com. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Where is everybody today? Have they gone on vacation already? What's happening?
Call us. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Tumbleweeds on the phones today, this morning. What's going on? Is this thing on? Hello?
Testing.
Sue in Rockville brings us the festive news. It's time for another edition of Oh Frothy.
Yes. On Sunday, Rick Santorum said, quote, yes, the ACA website may give you good information on the front end, but the information coming out the back end is still garbage.
Oh, boy. Wow. Was he wearing his brown sweater vest when he said that?
He was the brown lump of clay. Frothy? Oh, heavens. I'm so looking forward to Seattle Sexy Liberal next Saturday with Dan Savage, who brought us Santorum. Well, I mean, he didn't create it himself, but on the Google machine.
Yes.
He forever linked it to Rick Santorum. Oh, Frothy. There's really nothing you can say that will not be mocked till the end of time. Oh, by the way, here's a tweet. 1 million visits to healthcare.gov yesterday. Site's stable, faster for users. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Uh-oh. It's coming in the front end and coming out the back end.
Frothy.
Fun.
Frothy. OMG. What was I saying last week when I was on the TV machine? Who was I sitting next to in hair and makeup at CNN?
Bruce Jenner?
No! Oh. Mike Tyson.
Oh, that's right.
Somebody tweeted a picture. That was the day.
Oh.
It's a picture of him on CNN. Mike Tyson on Obamacare. Elon Green tweeted, the news about CNN's shift away from news is so heartbreaking / surprising. Really? They had Mike Tyson. They want to know what Mike Tyson thinks about Obamacare.
Elon Green? That's not the guy that was in the Twitter fight with Diane.
No. Different guy.
Okay.
What does Mike Tyson think? Is a loss of an ear covered in Obamacare? You know what it is? I'm not sure if it's covered elective surgery. We talked about this yesterday, Jim, but Sharon Osbourne had her lady bits tightened.
Yes.
Tightened up a little bit. She runs a tight ship when it comes to her lady parts.
No.
TMZ reporting proudly admitting getting excruciating plastic surgery on her JJ.
Wow.
All for Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, that's different. I can feel something. Oh, that's never happened before.
Designer vaginas have become all the rage.
Designer vagina?
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, and not just in Beverly Hills. As we first reported, Anthony Weiner's sexting buddy, Sydney Leathers, got snipped and plans to auction off her spare labia bits.
Oh. Yikes. Really? Why would someone that young need
to get? You know what?
It's
the life. Yeah. I quit. What? America's done.
How many guys has she done where she needs to get her...
She's been
tightened up that
young. She's been cavorting with livestock?
Wants to buy Anthony Weiner's sexting partner's labia bits.
Wow.
Really, people?
Has she
really?
Been doing elephants?
Why?
I'm officially too old to live, or this country is too ridiculous, or some combination of the both. But that's it. Hit the lights.
Well, you should get your lady bits tightened. And
there's
then...
nothing going on down there. Tight as a cat's ass. Nothing to... That's been used. It's like one of those things in the box.
Never been used.
It's never been used.
Fresh out of the box.
What would need to be done? It's perfect. It's like in 40-year-old virgins. It's those like Steve Austins that have never been opened.
Sure.
What?
Steve Austin?
Did you just say tight as a cat's ass?
Right. Bionic Man. Remember, he has all the dolls.
Yeah.
They've never been opened or touched. Right. Okay. Dale and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Steph. How are you guys doing?
Good.
That's good. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, I've been trying to find out if Obamacare covers Sarah Palinitis.
Yes.
You know, I get that every time she speaks, I get this searing headache. My ears start to hurt.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
It's like you've been impaled.
You remember one of the original sound bites we ever played of Sarah Palin. You remember some guy called and said, "I think my balls just hit the back of my throat.
Mm-hmm.
Please stop playing Sarah Palin sound bites." Guys and gals, see shunk.
Sounds like a soda stream.
Yeah, no, I think it was during the campaign because when she was out at rallies, she was considerably more yelly.
Yeah.
And she kind of hits a pitch that only dogs can hear. And
guys and gals!
Right, that's not, that's, see, that's like a medium example.
Ugh.
But there was some screechiness that really was like
I think they play that to people at Gitmo, get them to talk.
Yeah. It'd be like when my SUV, when the, you know, it was hitting, because remember I used to, you told me I'm not supposed to ride the brakes when I came down, like, the
right.
hill.
That's what you
and
mean.
Just when it happened,
metal was going
right,
against
metal?
Metal
against metal. That's exactly what she sounds like. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh! See? That's what happens when you drink all day and skip lunch.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our favorite day of the week.
Why?
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Okay, so yesterday I'm driving back from dropping my daughter off at college up in Stephanie Millerland up in Geneva, New York.
Right.
And I listened to the show.
Yeah.
You guys have so checked out.
Oh, you think so?
It's between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's like you guys have experienced vacation rapture.
Yeah.
Your clothes are there, but nobody else is.
It's just, you know, it's radio packing material.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Styrofoam peanuts.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Uh-huh.
But thank God you're here. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Good morning.
Yes, I like your piece, Yet Another End for the Obama Administration. Wow, speaking of how many times the Obama administration's been raptured,
this is a great one. This is going to happen now until 25 years after David Gergen is dead. This is another guy recommending that the only person that could save an embattled presidency is David Gergen.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy's been elected and reelected. He doesn't need David Gergen at this point.
Yeah.
And well, as I said in the piece, maybe he just lost the phone number to Madame Tussauds.
You were talking about ace reporter Ron Fournier of the Associated Press has another scoop for y'all. There's absolutely no way on God, green, and pleasant earth this Obama fellow will be elected president again. He's blown his chance for that third term and probably the fourth and fifth as well. And by the way, you cited your friend Eric Bollard. I'm hoping that you heard him on
Stephanie Miller.
I did.
Right.
That was one of the few substantive portions of the show yesterday.
Right.
I was
exactly.
glued to my radio.
Exactly. You and Eric are like the cartilage.
At least we've abandoned the Anne Murray porn fanfic, which I.
That is true.
You do listen. Okay.
I listened quite closely for Anne Murray porn fanfic. Are you kidding?
Yeah. That's when you wanted to. You admitted you wanted to feel up Anne Murray's breasts.
I don't know how we got there, but let's not go back. Let's move forward.
Well, apparently you went to the hips and turned north. I don't know.
No idea how we got there. But you were saying you heard your friend Eric Bollard.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pardon me. Warning us that the traditional end-of-year retrospectives are likely to sing in close harmony on the theme of the collapsing Obama administration, even though his poll numbers pretty much where they've been for a couple of years now, even though, Republicans in Congress have the approval ratings of skin disease. That's a new one. but you're right. I mean, this is just how many times has this been written, the same story, that, you know, everything is, the administration's doomed.
But again, this notion that the only thing that can rescue him are the undead from inside the Beltway.
Right.
I mean, this guy proposes Colin Powell. Colin Powell doesn't want to get back in government anymore. Even if he did, who cares?
Right. Right. Yeah. I love your you have the same reaction many times to the Sunday shows I do. But you were talking about I think it's been terribly mismanaged, said former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell on the health care law. A Democrat who supports Obama, Rendell said on Morning Joe that had he been president, the website would have been tested repeatedly before launching. The test would have been done in front of me. And you said, oh, this is almost perfect. The center cut diamond of village idiocy. You could put it in a museum. Ron Fournier quoting something Ed Rendell said on Morning Joe. I mean, this is how circular this has gotten.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's a circle made of jerks.
Hey!
Woo!
That's why he started leaving.
That's why we have him back.
That woke up LaVoy.
I got it. But anyway, you were saying the point of the whole thing, Obama must change more than his staff. He must transform himself. You said, or else what? Or else what?
He should transform himself into a white person.
Yeah, right.
And judging by Fournier standards, I think a rather boring one.
And as you say, or else what? The Republicans will refuse to cooperate with him?
Yeah.
Is that what will happen?
What price are we paying here? follow Ron Fournier's advice or what?
Yeah. I have to say, I talked about this on Monday, but I thought my head was going to explode as well on Meet the Press when Mike Rogers was just, this is what passes, you're right, for journalism. He's going on and on with just this stream of right-wing. He was on with Chris Van Hollen, the Democrat, right. Obviously, right?
Yes, who got to talk like this.
In hyphens, as you say. I know. And you quote David Gregory, I'm going to leave the debate there. And you say, wait a minute. Jesus Christ on a defibrillator. What debate? Rogers goes off on a soliloquy of partisan bull. He does represent a party that has no health care plan at all. And Van Hollen gets to talk largely in hyphens. I mean, and I was saying, Charlie, that... Are you kidding me? First of all, it's this newfound concern for people that have cancer and can't get insurance or can't get maternity care. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, where were you guys throughout the 1990s?
Right. And that's all everything. And neither, first of all, Chris Van Hollen doesn't have a chance, and Gregory doesn't point out that that's what the Affordable Care Act is fixing, right?
Well, supposedly, yeah, if we allow it to work. But if you read your New York Times today, there are, you know, legal strategies lined up on the runway about 9 deep to keep it from working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the white or the Republicans put out a memo, right? That's all about how to further, attack Obamacare, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it's dawning on people now that the strategy is to have this thing not work ever.
Yeah.
Because there's one party that believes in an almost theological sense that government shouldn't do this.
Yeah. I mean, and I love
that. Because that's what scares me about this whole theory about, well, once it gets up and running and people love it, it'll be safe. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it may not get repealed, but I don't think it'll be safe.
Well, but I mean, I think, Charlie, the only thing I wonder is what can they do? As you say, it seems like they've already, the ship has sailed on repeal.
They're attacking it on 9 or 10 different fronts legally and in Congress. I mean, you've got the contraception mandate. You've got the notion that the IRS can't enforce, subsidies to the federal exchanges. I mean, they're going to tie this thing up legally for years until it looks like a mess.
Yeah.
And I think that's the strategy. But you know who we have to call on in this case, though? Former nightclub bouncer, Pope Francis.
Yes, he admitted that he was a nightclub bouncer.
Was he really?
In South America.
I keep picturing him as Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Boy, that smarts, don't it?
Wow, I had not heard that.
Yeah, he said he told the group that when he was a student, he had worked at a bouncer in a nightclub in Argentina. I have this vision of this like 50-year-old guy in Argentina waking up like hungover out of his mind, turning on the TV and going, "Dude,
that's the guy that threw me out."
I worked with him.
Throwing his crucifix like a shuriken.
It also functions as a throwing star.
Right, exactly.
By the way, you were talking about Cardinal...
Which is exactly what Jim Ward said, and I ruined his show.
Right, exactly.
It's been a tough week for Jim Ward.
By the way, you were talking about Cardinal Dolan, which we talked about being on Meet the Press, and saying he just got outmarketed on the whole gay issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole problem is that, Harvey Weinstein was a better ad salesman than Jesus was or something. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. My favorite part, though, was when he said that the Pope couldn't make doctrine.
Yeah.
And I heard like 9,000 of the nuns who taught me and the brothers and the Jesuits who taught me through my education coming to a screeching halt in my brain. Wait a minute. Hold on. Of course he can.
Right. Yeah. He said that somehow the church has been cast as anti-gay in some way.
Oh, well, I can't imagine how that would happen.
Yeah, I don't. I can't either. And by the way, Scott Walker, I did not see, so thank you for the recap on him on the Sunday show. But thanks for deconstructing that whole thing.
He's out touring his book now, of course, and the
right.
people I know in Wisconsin are having a hilarious time.
Or, as you call it, a book-like product.
Yeah, exactly, because it was written with torture porn enthusiast Mark Thiessen of the Washington Post.
Oh, good.
He's talking about the miracle of Wisconsin and the 250,000 jobs that he failed to produce, even though saying he was going to, except the 250,000 jobs he produced in Minnesota.
Well, and you were saying he went on like sort of larger point about how much better everywhere with Republican governors.
Yeah, compare California to Texas, he said.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
Let's start right now.
Right. Right.
I mean, Texas has more unregulated exploding fertilizer plants than California does. I think we have to admit that.
They got us there. You're
absolutely
right. Yeah. Yeah. And as you say, Wisconsin, just for those of you keeping track, ranked 45th by Forbes in job growth.
The notorious commies at Forbes magazine, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And you say Virginia just elected a Democratic governor, foof, largely because the prominent transvaginalist who held the job took exactly the same kind of bold, unintimidated stance that you crow about in your recently released book-like product.
His theory is that what the Republican Party needs is somebody who will take firm, uncompromising stands the way he did in Wisconsin. Okay, fine. Let's do that. Please, I'm begging you. Now the gender gap becomes like the size of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie.
But come to think of it, it's really not a good metaphor. But
no, it is not. It is not. by the by, you were talking. We mentioned this case yesterday too. Just of all the heartbreaking gun stories. This 72-year-old man with advanced Alzheimer's disease who was shot and killed under the Stand Your Ground law because they thought he was a prowler or something.
A 32-year-old guy was fearing for his life.
Right.
I mean, because a 72-year-old guy with Alzheimer's was trying to walk toward him.
Right, right. And as, in the George Zimmerman case, he should have just stayed inside and waited for the police to come, right?
Right, or he just should have, gotten out of the way of the 72-year-old Alzheimer's patient that was walking toward him.
Right, yeah. And
I can't imagine that, having lived through this awful experience myself, I can't imagine that a 72-year-old patient with advanced Alzheimer's is that very hard to dodge.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but you're right. It's,
the tragic thing, of course, is the sheriff who says, as far as we know, he hasn't broken any law.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's this Stand Your Ground law that is just beyond absurd, and it's this kind of
and they're being passed now just to demonstrate that political power. That's all they're. I mean, everybody knows they don't work. Everybody knows they're a problem. The cops know they're a problem, and they're being passed now by these people just to prove that they can do anything they want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're coming up on what? The anniversary of Newtown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And that was the teachable moment. We're all going to change our minds on guns. Yeah, it got worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer here, but that's the fact.
That's part of your job is being Debbie Downer.
Oh, no. You want to talk about my job.
Will you trade with Jim?
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Disneyland.
Okay.
Yay.
Just to make Chris happy?
I know Chris LaVoy because he's my Facebook BFF.
That's right.
To Disneyland.
Yeah.
The great thing about going to Disneyland with Chris LaVoy is he can drink tea. He can actually drink tea out of the spinning teacups because he can lift them. Because if people don't know, Chris LaVoy is the size of a UPS truck.
By the way, words I never thought I'd hear come out of Charlie Pierce's mouth, my Facebook BFF.
Yeah, that's right. Chris LaVoy and I are Facebook BFFs. That's
we are.
God. Oh, my God.
We post on each other's pages.
He's a 15-year-old girl suddenly. Okay. All right. Love you, Charlie Pierce.
See you next week.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye-bye. Facebook. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Steffi.
It is the Steffi Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce in fine form today. Crystal Bowersox, American Idol finalist, coming up next hour.
That's right.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Facebook fight, everybody. Facebook fight.
Again?
Right. Have you seen this one, the new mom under fire for post-baby selfie?
Oh, yeah, where she has a washboard stomach 3 days after.
She is a biatch.
Sure.
She has better abs than Paul Ryan.
That's for damn sure.
Is the post-pregnancy body the new weapon of choice among super fit moms? Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Why?
Well, just because she's obviously, somebody was saying you're looking at somebody that's genetically, she's a freak of some sort.
She's proud of herself.
Mm-hmm. She's a Norwegian soccer wife.
Mm-hmm.
and fitness blogger Caroline Berg Erickson. She posted a flat stomach bra and panty selfie to her Instagram followers just 4 days after giving birth. This is not a selfie. This is an act of war, writes one Australian blogger in response to the image. This whole situation has become ludicrous. The competition for women to give birth and then immediately remove any trace from their bodies that they ever carried a child is obscene. There's no other words for it.
There's no competition going on.
Other people called it a wildly provocative photo. It is a little in your face. Like, you know, she knows that's, like, most
she's
women.
Proud of what she's done.
Right, but it's going to make most women think she's a bitch. That's
well, that's the other women's problems.
Oh, look at you.
Seriously.
You're getting defensive of it there.
No, these other women are getting defensive.
She posted the photo of herself on Instagram along with the caption, "I feel so empty 4 days after birth." Come on, that's bitchy. Australian Telegraph writer or somebody offered mixed reviews of the situation, tweeting, "Yes, she's a shameless exhibitionist, but warning her."
Oh, my God. Because she posted a selfie?
Warning in her column that the super fit and genetically freakish likes of Berg Erickson is merely another form of judgment, and mothers are forced to contend with far too much of that already.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Oh, how about this one? You like this woman, too, don't you? Look at this. Mother and fitness blogger Maria Kang polarized Facebook readers twice recently, first for posting a hyper-fit photo of herself and asking, "What's your excuse?"
Okay, that was bitchy.
Yeah, she's got, and she has her kids around her, and above their heads is 2 years old, 3 years old, 8 months old, and then there she is. She's
That was bitchy. I agree with that. That was bitchy. But what this Norwegian fitness blogger has done, it's...
Oh, and then she also criticized plus-size women for posing proudly in their lingerie.
That's a problem as well.
All right. I
just wonder if she had a cesarean, the woman with
the Norwegian woman didn't put anybody down. This other woman that you were talking about, she was putting other people down. I have a problem with that.
I feel so empty. That's a little like meow. Come on.
No, that's not putting anybody down. I don't agree.
All right. I think, first of all, Instagram in the first place. Look at me.
Of course. That's the way kids are now. That's the way everybody is now.
Kids? She's in her 40. What do you mean, kids?
That's the way everybody is now. You're just not on it.
No.
Because you're all about me.
I'm self-involved. Just not. Right. My body image is too bad to want to put selfies, half-naked selfies
right.
of myself.
Right. So you just pour everything out on the radio. That's your way.
Right.
This is your social media.
Right. Enough about me. What do you think about
exactly.
me?
Exactly. You don't need other kinds of social media. You have the microphone.
Right. It's like a job made in heaven for me. 3 hours just to talk about me.
Right.
Mostly. Not mostly.
And so you get it out of your system. You don't need to be on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter on everything.
I talk about other stuff. Okay. For instance, you said this yesterday. You were right. That is the train I used to take in New York. I didn't realize that. Metro North.
Yeah.
That is terrifying. The Metro North train, it derailed in the Bronx, right?
Yeah.
But that was...
Like the northern end of the Bronx. It was kind of rural where it...
Well, that's where it goes. I remember that train.
It's going 80 miles an
Yonkers.
Hour.
It's right before they say Yonkers. Yonkers is next. Yonkers. Croton. Harmon. That guy's in my head, in my sleep.
And you used to get off at Croton.
Right. Yeah. I did. Thank you very much. Croton Harmon, my station. Thanks.
All right.
But yeah, they were... once again, the speed. This was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Here's the NTSB.
The train was traveling at approximately 82 miles per hour as it went into a 30-mile-an-hour curve.
Yikes. Senator Chuck Schumer about the train derailment.
When I heard about the speed, I gulped. It sort of takes your breath away.
Yeah, who knows how that happened? I guess they will find out. But anyway, yikes. Everybody out here is still talking about Paul Walker's death, speaking of speed-related. This is, so tragic. Not only that, apparently he just, from everybody I've talked to out here, he just was a really nice guy. I mean, but, they say he was just tagging along with a pal for a test drive in a trouble-prone Porsche when they crashed and died. he had shown up at Always Evolving, a high-end car shop run by his buddy, former race car driver Roger Rodas. And when he got there, he saw Rodas trying to help employees figure out what was wrong with a red Porsche that kept stalling. Rodas was behind the wheel, backing the pricey car out of the garage when Walker hopped into the passenger seat and the pair took off to troubleshoot. Can you imagine? They were returning from a 20-minute spin when they tragically crashed just 500 yards from the shop. And apparently his body, both bodies actually, so badly burned. The coroners will need dental records to identify him. But just a tragic fluke, right?
Yeah, but you know what? A light pole doesn't get snapped in half like that by going 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, but you have to wonder, you know, now this new information about them troubleshooting, was it something wrong with the car? Yeah. Was it accelerating, you know, without, I don't know, but, oh, God, sad, sad story. Ugh. All right, hey, speaking of sad, guess what the Republicans have planned for poor people this Christmas?
What?
Well, not food, that's not that. The GOP's Hunger Games, the Daily Beast writes, Eleanor Cliff, Jim.
Wrong!
No, she's right.
She's
on
right
this.
On this one.
Yeah. Hunger Games, more food stamp cuts for the holidays. With needy families already feeling the sting of cuts to food stamps, outrage is growing over a Republican push to slash even more from the program just in time for the holidays. Mm. Isn't that nice? You know, if I hear one more Republican quote this thing, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat, said Representative Stephen Fincher, Republican of Tennessee, who is, by the way, on the...
Hypocrites.
Invoking the Bible to explain his vote earlier this year to cut food stamps while calling for increased crop subsidies for farmers. His family farm, coincidentally enough, received more than $3.5 million in federal money over the years, making him the poster boy for the 33 members of Congress who voted to cut food stamps while having no qualms about accepting money for their federal for their farms.
That doesn't sound like work.
So he's fine with that, with the farm subsidy. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, Crystal Bowers talks much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal Carlos L's Rocky in tomorrow for Coffee with Carlos. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Why, speaking of sexy liberals, tickets flying out the door. It's next Saturday, you know, the final 2013. Jim Ward will be there. Dan Savage on celebrity guest on panel.
This Saturday.
No, next Saturday, December 14th.
Right.
Okay. Rocky Mountain Mike and Company is going to be a big part in Menate. Two separate events.
Where can I get tickets to the Tay?
Listen, just show up for the par. I'll tell you where the... It's a...
Speakeasy.
Right.
Okay.
Invitation only.
Gotcha.
Got to be the par. I'll tell you where the Tay is. Okay. And it's in the wind. That's where the Tay is. It's in the wind.
I see. Yeah.
Okay. And then Phoenix, of course, you'll be there. Chris LaVoy
will be there,
yes. February 15th. And then coming up after that one, of course.
Once upon a time, there was a girl named Stephanie who gathered a ragtag band of progressive jesters to rid the land of the great conservative darkness. And history was made in the great city of Madison when the sexy liberal comedy tour was born.
Seems like a long time ago.
And now is their triumphant midterm election return.
Putting the band back together.
Yes, we can.
On March 29th, Stephanie Miller and her merry, marauding collection of sexy liberal comics will return to where it all started, the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are available online at barrymorelive.com. Don't miss the midterm mayhem and an early Scott Walker retirement party.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 29th at the Barrymore Theater. Go to barrymorelive.com.
Yeah. Do it. Do it. And then, of course, just announced Albuquerque May 10th. Albuquerque.
Make sure you make that left turn at Albuquerque.
Right.
Otherwise, you won't get there.
Exactly.
To Pope Joy Hall.
Exactly. They are a festive, by the way, holiday gift. Sexy liberal tickets to this for the sexy liberal in your life or someone you'd like to convert. Maybe a sexy a conservative who you'd like to bring to the light.
Sexy conservative?
Right.
Really?
Yes. Okay, because it is the season, you know.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
My dearest Charles, the children and I have set about decorating the house for the sacred birth of our Lord, using whatever remnants of our meager existence we can find while you are away at war. Yesterday, Tad went to Hobby Lobby and bought our traditional 20-foot Christmas tree with its 5,000 new LED lights. On sale, of course, because of the war effort. The lawn feels so empty this year, since our inflatable life-size nativity snow globe has developed a leak. So we cannot display it as we normally do. The children are so disappointed. Our tinsel supply is running low, but we'll make do this year, my love, because we know how difficult your life must be at the front. Sending all my love, your faithful wife, Cynthia.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas, coming this December on PBS.
Oh, it always makes me misty, the War on Christmas.
It's adorable.
Glenn in Utah, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm just calling in response to that senator, congressman, whoever it was, that said cutting about the food stamps again. I got a really answer for easy for that. So why don't they just raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour? And that'll get a lot of people off.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
As well as other programs besides food stamps and low-income housing projects and everything, if they'd start paying them decent.
Yeah, well, you know, Glenn, it was like we were talking yesterday. Walmart had a canned food drive for their own employees.
Yeah, I saw
like,
that.
What, the irony is not lost on them?
Or you could pay them.
Right. Yes, you could pay them enough to buy their own canned goods. How about that?
Yeah, that seems to make sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, well, thank you, sir. All right, Michael Douglas, he's trying, this is a...
It's a rehabilitation tool.
Yes, oh. He's trying to, he's making pancakes to win his wife back.
Ah, really?
You know what he should have, probably should have done the first place, shut his pie hole about the Ixnay and the Ixnay with the Unilingus K. See, I was right about that, because I'm always right.
Yeah.
I was reading that that's what she's upset about. I said, when he said it, I was like, uh-oh, his wife's not going to... Because either he got it from
another
woman, or he's implying he got it from her, and either way, it is not going to be good.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd been with plenty of women before her.
Before her, right.
And I'm sure she understands that.
Right, either way, it's... did not... but he's making pancakes for her and the kids to try to win her back.
Pancakes is all it takes? Really?
Well, I'm saying the pie hole was really more the problem in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Pancake hole.
Right, exactly. Pancake hole. You know what? I'm just ready to, you know what? I'm ready to hit the lights and just move on out. Because what was the thing that last hour? That Amazon drones, first of all, might not be here for 10 years.
Right.
That was the first dream that died.
Yeah.
Then that airplane fight. With the Bachelorette producer was
Gale.
A fake.
Yeah.
That was fake. And then what was the thing last hour? I can't remember. The thing that makes me think I'm either old or our country is just, you know, in the... Miley Cyrus might be Times Person of the Year. Really?
Really?
So is Hitler.
Okay. Send your cards and letters to Jim.
I'm not
Miley Cyrus fans.
I'm just saying.
Superficial brings us the news. Miley Cyrus apparently could be named Times Person of the Year because humanity can't be trusted with the internet anymore, so shut it off. Everybody, shut it off. We're going back to faxes.
Oh, God.
Randy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Randy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I was calling in response to your call on food stamps, the reduction and all that. At least out here in California, you know, I'm a conservative, but I'm all for helping people that need it. But there is abuse with food stamps. You know, when you can go to the convenience store, you know, or a grocery store, and I'm standing right next to them, you're buying chips and Ho-Hos and Cokes and Pepsi. And it's like, wait a minute, those aren't meals. You're spending $8.
Right.
Absolutely junk food for you and your kids.
You do understand that all of that is a lot less expensive than, you know, buying fresh orange juice or fresh fruits and vegetables and all of that. That's why they're buying that sort of stuff. Because it's they can get a lot more for their money buying crap than they can buying fresh stuff.
No.
Yes, they can.
False.
No, no, it's not false. It's true.
Wait.
That you call that abuse. That's abuse?
Wait a minute. I'm all for someone giving someone food, but I know people here, they're getting like $700-$800 in food stamps, which is more than I spend in my family.
Who is getting $700 or $800 in food stamps?
Out here in California. I can guarantee
the guy
you
that you're next to at the store.
He's carrying $500 to $600 in food stamps. Really?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because he stole it from Rosalie Mary's son.
That,
of course.
I call BS on that.
The blacks and their Escalades with all their excess groceries.
Yeah.
Gee, how are things out there in California, by the way?
Really? Out here in California, at the convenience store that you're at every day, there's somebody next to you with $800 of food stamps buying $800 worth of ho-hos.
Ho-hos. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Weird how we get these anecdotal stories.
You could get an actual ho for $800.
Right.
You know what?
That's, you better get more than two. Just a ho-ho. You better get a whole month's supply.
When you're shopping on very limited funds like food stamps are, you're going to pick up a 99-cent 2-liter bottle of Coke rather than a $4 1-liter jug of orange juice because you can get more for your money.
Yep.
That's the unfortunate thing with junk food, is it's cheaper than real food.
Damn liberals and their food stamps. Look what they're doing.
Right. This is
you
always
know
like
what?
This is always the it doesn't matter what issue, right? Where we'll say, "Oh, there's abuse." Well, we need, voter ID laws because there's so much voter fraud.
Whatever.
You can't give people food stamps because there's people, abusing it left and right.
Sure.
$800 worth of...
So says Rush Limbaugh.
Cheesy poofs.
Who?
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's only buying healthy food.
Sure.
You can get a huge bag of off-market brand cheesy poofs. For like $3.
Oh,
seriously.
From China?
Cheesy poofs
made
from China,
Made of Chinese drywall?
But you know what? That'll fill the kids up.
Okay. All right.
I'm Wolf Blitzer.
By the way, Britney Spears?
Mm-hmm. I'll bet she does.
Right?
Really?
That's what the kids are calling it. Fans can likely expect to hear songs inspired by the gays on her new album. Britney Jean is the name of the new album. I get inspiration from them on almost all my songs, she says of her gay fans. They're somewhat girls. Oh, dear.
Oh, what? Excuse me? What?
What, y'all?
I'd like to introduce her to some of my friends and see if she calls them girls.
So it's so inspiring to do stuff that they like to hear, like the cool in stuff. Oh, boy. Back in September, a rapper accused Spears of exploiting her gay fans following the release of her single, Work, Bitch.
That's actually a catchy song.
When asked about the influence she gets from
fans... Sounds like the last caller. Work, bitch!
As if she has a group of...
$800 of food stamps.
It's the Republican policy on food stamps.
Right.
Work, bitch. Let's see. Asked if the influence she gets from fans, if she has a group of gay people that influence her, she cited her adorable and hilarious beauty team. She may want to, start using somewhat less condescending terms. And then she says she didn't mean any harm by any of it. Wait, what? Who felt the other way? I would never say anything to be mean to them.
Oh, my God.
I love my gays.
Oh.
Gay people are always usually my best friends. Oh, boy.
Oh,
in the whole world, I completely adore them. She's briefly said, work, bitch, is actually a reference to her gay following. She said, I don't call everyone that word. I just use it in respect to the gays as a term of endearment. Bitch. It's like a street slang for everyone. Like you get to work. It's what you do when you get to work. It's like cool.
Barbarians need to be disciplined, bitch.
She shouldn't be explaining a song that she didn't write. She probably has no... She was told what to sing and how to sing it and...
Right.
She put minimal effort into it.
And auto-tunes.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
All right, you need to work, bitch. Get us into a break here.
Okay.
18 minutes
right away, Ms. Miller.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Steph Miller
Show. Too soon
for
a callback.
Yeah.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris, stop it.
What?
just because you're trying to fill the Twitter fight void that you're having with Dana Loesch, who has blocked you.
I'm in a minor Twitter fight with Eric Erickson of Red State. Because he was very, very upset that the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade had a production of from the Broadway show Kinky Boots, which deals with transvestites.
Shocking.
Right. What will he tell his children? And
blah, blah.
Exactly.
I don't know. You're Eric Erickson's kid. You got more trouble.
Exactly.
No offense.
Yeah, he's scared of people who are different from him.
Is that helping to fill your giant Dana Loesch void in your life?
Yeah, Dana Loesch blocked me, so I can't see what ridiculousness she's posting.
You're just picking fights with random D-listers.
I've never lost a fight with her. She was awesome to fight with.
It's not Boxcar or Shoeface. Stephanie.
Oh, dear God. Mama has a little dry patch in her throat.
Do you need some water?
Yes, I have some. You talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
That didn't seem to help things. You're still scratchy.
No, my voice is reaching its end. Sorry about that.
Is it the menopause?
Mm-hmm. Everything's still drying up.
Everything's drying up.
You're just going to turn into a pile of dust pretty soon.
Just Crypt Keeper. I'll turn into one of my formerly juicy ovaries.
Yes.
Hi, Monica.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the food stamp debate I heard when I got in my car. And the reason today that people use food stamps to buy potato chips and pop and candy bar is because of lobbying from the companies that make those things. So it's, you know, it benefits the rich.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like Chris was saying, I mean, fortunately, it's a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. To buy crap.
And that we should fix, because we do have an obesity epidemic.
And it's not...
How many calories are in a lozenge?
And a sucrates.
As Jim said earlier in the show, sucrates taste like cherry ass. Okay. Jay in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jay. Go ahead, Jay. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I listened to that jackhole who was rambling about wasting food stamp money.
Uh-huh.
I'm 35. I've got 5 kids of my own. I have 2 part-time jobs, and unfortunately, I am forced to be on food stamps. We try to stick to a very, very minimal amount of protein as far as meat is concerned. So the majority of our money goes to fruits and vegetables and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's astounding to me that these people run their mouths about something that they really, truly don't understand. I try to feed my kids. We make about $524 on food stamps.
Right.
And to feed a family of 7 on that amount of money a month is just virtually impossible.
Well, and Jay, as you pointed out about yourself, you have 2 jobs. You're you know, this whole quoting the oath, he who shall not work, you know, the working poor are the majority of the people using food stamps.
Right.
And so, you know, some guy anecdotally saying, everyone I stand next to, you know. Excuse me.
Screaming most about it are people who are against raising the minimum wage.
Right.
Right. Right. But, I mean, it's just, I anecdotally happen to, every time I'm in a convenience store, be standing next to a moocher. Oh, my God, I'm going to die soon. Laura in Seattle. Go ahead, Laura.
Hey, Stephanie. I, too, am calling about the food stamp jack-off. He said that, you know, you could get $700 in food stamps in California, and that is, in fact, true. If you are getting the absolute maximum benefit for a family of 5, you would break $700.
Okay.
Except that the average household income of a family receiving SNAP benefits is only $700 to begin with. And that's gross income. That is not net income, which is about $350. Now, that's the average family. So if you think about how much you would have to not make of that $350 in net income in order to receive the maximum allotment of food stamps, you're talking about families that are, have basically no income whatsoever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely right. All right, I need to go get some throat coat.
Yeah, someone on Twitter wants to know if you looked into the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
That's probably it.
American Idol finalist and Crystal Power Socks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Missed my mother's face, so I dialed a childhood number when the call went through. She asked, any chance should I set a place? I said, make it two. I'm coming out for Christmas. This is the year that I'll be there with my family. Love and joy for girls or boys, ain't that supposed to be what it's all about? I'm coming out for Christmas.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Crystal Bowersock's American Idol finalist joins us. The proceeds from that song for the Trevor Project, one of our very favorite organizations. Good morning, Crystal.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. What a gorgeous song.
Oh, thank you so much. I have Maya Sharp to thank for that. She's a lovely lady.
Wow, by the way, I was joking because I said one year, my nephew is bisexual and I'm gay and we both came out the same Christmas.
And nice. So we, that was a nice happy gathering, happy family gathering.
We always call it our coming out Christmas. It was years ago, but, you were recently on Good Day LA talking about the song, right? And you said you've been bisexual as long as you can remember.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured it out in elementary and junior high, and, you know, it's something that in junior high I remember I told a very close friend, and then it was all over the school, and I was made fun of, and, you know, all sorts of things like that, and even my own mom, you know, she's never really been supportive, but when I showed her this song, at first she was like, I don't want to hear it, and then she said, can I hear it again?
I loved what you said. You said the holidays are here. It pains me to think anyone would be left alone or be forbidden to be with their family over something as silly as their sexual orientation. I hope it'll serve as a holiday anthem for people who may finally have the courage to live their life as their true authentic self. And I think that's beautiful. And I hope, you know, how long ago did you tell your parents about this?
Well, my mom, I told her about the song and the first line, I miss the snow, I miss my mother's face. And you know, she's rural Ohio and she's, I don't know what her deal is, but she was like, I don't want to be part of this song. And I'm like, don't worry, it's about a fictitious character. but no, I mean, my dad and I are really close and it's something that he and I, we've always talked about. And he's always told me, you know, whatever makes you happy, kid, makes me happy. So, you know, my brother's cool and my family's cool with it, and I think there's some kind of stigma attached to being bisexual as opposed to gay, you know, like people, I guess, associate it with promiscuity, but, you know, I'm a serial monogamist, but it's not like I'll go sleeping around just because I like everybody, you know?
Yeah, you're just naturally friendly, or maybe you thought you were a Libra at first.
My rising sign.
It's my main sign. You know, Crystal, it's interesting, I saw your... I saw a lot of, a few days ago online about you, and I don't know if you saw Maria Bello, the actress, just wrote a piece in the New York Times about coming out as a Modern Family, talking about that she's, you know, with her best friend, a woman now, romantically, and I thought, between that and there's a male diver that just talked about that he's in a gay relationship, and I thought, what is going on?
Yeah, that, I did read the article, actually. It's a nice piece. You know, I've had my taste of the Modern Family, too. I was dating this wonderful woman. And my ex-husband, her and I, we went out to dinner together, and my son was there, and, he's just, what a lucky kid to be surrounded by so many adults who all want the same thing, and that's just to shower him with love and praise. And I feel like if everyone was raised in a family where that was the objective, is to just shower your kids with support, love, mm-hmm. and praise for who they are and their talents, and, you know, they're going to grow up to be healthy, whole, people and productive members of society. And, you know, they're going to share that same sentiment with their friends and their own family someday.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you find when you go younger and younger in polling on any of these issues. But, you know, what I loved about her piece, too, is I thought, boy, she didn't use the word gay, straight, bisexual. You know, I think that was the whole point, is just, you know, is that the next front, is just not having labels.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, sexuality is much more fluid than that. I mean, it goes back to the beginning of our existence, you know? I mean, why? Why do you have to throw a label on anything? I mean, a family by definition, that's the people who support you and love you unconditionally, you know? And I have chosen family, and I love my blood family, but I definitely have chosen family and people who do that for me, you know?
Yeah, no, me too. I think we all do. I mean, I think it's, you know, we talk about politics a lot on this show, Crystal, and I thought, like, one of the, you know, my favorite phone calls recently was somebody was talking about when we had the whole marriage equality debate. They said, you know, were you born with a desire to sleep with someone of another race, or did you choose it? And in a free America, what difference should it make, you know?
Yeah, it really shouldn't make a difference, but, you know, I wasn't, like, the day that I was born, I thought, I'm going to be with men and women. You know, it's not like that. You learn who you are over time, you know?
But you wonder if it is, like we were saying, like the next front in, because, you know, we've come so far so fast, whether it's Don't Ask, Don't Tell or marriage equality, but, because I was saying, I know, God, I'd have to say at least 10, you know, 10 women that fall in this category, you know, and some well-known, some not. And I thought, you know, it is that dirty little secret that, you know, we're not supposed to say. We're supposed to say born this way. And you're right. I think that even in the polling, when you look younger and younger, sexual fluidity is something that younger people are familiar with, right?
I don't want to say so because I have a young son. He should not be sexually fluid. No, I'm kidding.
He can't be
I'm
sexually
totally
anything.
I do think that in this younger generation, you know, it's more, you know, kids are wising up to the fact that hate is never an answer. It's not an answer for anything in this world. And, you know, it's not a big deal. I don't think that my sexuality is a big deal, but the reason that I felt like it was important for me to share publicly my own struggles with my sexuality and, you know, where I've come to now is, you know, there's some kid in high school somewhere who's really having a hard time with this. The parents are not supportive. And the more people in the public eye who come out and say, this is okay, you know, these kids are going to accept themselves and love themselves and know that not the weirdo, you know, like it's okay to just be yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. My one of my good friends is Shelley Wright. You know, I'm sure you know the country singer, and
she's lovely.
Yeah, and she, I mean, that was, you know, she was like, we call her my gay whisperer because she really helped me come out. But she was saying that, you know, it really does. It makes a difference to that kid in Kansas or wherever, and that's why I love that. You know, some of the money from this is going to the Trevor Project because that's obviously the nation's only 24-hour suicide hotline, right, for gay and at-risk youths.
For sure. And, you know, the reason that I chose the Trevor Project is because, I mean, in high school, that was something that I contemplated as well, you know? If you don't have that support group around you, you really hate yourself, you know, because others are preaching that to you. And, you know, I thought about it many times, you know? And what I did is I turned 18 and I split town, you know? But I wasn't able to be with my family and my friends and in my rural community because of, you know, that on top of, you know, any other issues and things like that, you know. So I just, this year I'm going home for 3 weeks. I'm so happy about it. Aww. I'm going to see my grandma and I hope my grandma loves the song. You know, she's pretty cool.
It's a beautiful song. Krista, how do we get it? And some of the proceeds, as we were saying, go to Trevor Project. How do you get it?
You can go to NewYorkRockExchange.com. And if you purchase it through that website, the proceeds go to the Trevor Project. It's and you can also get it on iTunes and Amazon.
You know, speaking of, you know, people like you and Shelley Wright, and obviously, you know, that must have been a lot of pressure on American Idol. Did you feel pressure like that, you know, as an entertainer, you're often packaged as a sex symbol, you know, presumably to men, right?
Yeah, you know, usually for me, it's like 40 and up men. But I don't know. I don't think I was ever packaged as a sex symbol. I don't really view myself that way. But they do take a lot of makeup on you. And, you know, the American Idol audience tends to be, you know, I guess a 40 and up audience, you know, people who are calling in and voting. And, you know, they want you to kind of keep your personal bits personal. And I don't know. I've always been an open book. I've never really been able to live my life in a quiet way.
What do you, speaking of family, what do you think about the whole Cheney family fight, Mary Cheney and Liz Cheney?
You know, I don't know enough about it.
Well, Mary is gay, the one Dick
Cheney's
daughter.
Right, I know.
Right,
yeah.
And the other one is running for the Senate, and she, you know, came out against marriage equality, and her sister is, you know, is married to a woman. It's actually, I think, sadder, you know, than it is anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to put a risk in the family. Maybe they should listen to this song.
I think so, too. I think we shall purchase it and send it to the Cheney family. Why don't we do that, Chris? And then some money will come to the Trevor Project.
Yes, this is dedicated to the Cheney family.
it is now because we said so. Well, Crystal, it's a, you know, beautiful song and just really caught my attention, and I love your story and I love the song, and thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
And, by the way, is Bowersox your real name, just out of curiosity?
It is. Yeah.
That is awesome.
It translates to farmer of Saxony in German.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Yes, so you were born that way with that name then.
I was, yeah. My dad gave it to me. Aww. Thanks, Dad.
Niedersachsen or Sachsen-Anhalt? States.
Thanks, Crystal. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
All right. There she goes. Crystal, how cute.
Love her.
Travis even wrote, OMG, she's so nice.
Yeah.
You kind of get that. Just, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, watching her on that season, yeah. She's probably the last most genuine person they've had on American Idol.
Yeah, I mean, and gorgeous voice, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. You were. We talked about this yesterday. The diver that just came out and made quite a splash. yesterday.
See what we did there.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening. Okay, fill in your own joke, by the way, online about me being a diver, because I'm sure it's already on there. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Have you seen your Twitter feed?
I'm a diver. Okay, got it. Ha, ha, ha. Tom Daly. British diving star Tom Daly said Monday he was in a relationship with a man, but he still fancied girls.
Mm-hmm.
He became the latest sports star to make a public declaration. The 19-year-old bronze medalist at last year's London Olympics made the announcement, and as you do on YouTube.
So he fancies a shag with your bird, does he?
Right. The occasional. He said he wanted to end rumors and speculation. He said, come spring this year, my life changed massively. When I met someone, they made me feel so happy, so safe, and everything just felt great, and that someone is a guy. Of course, I still fancy girls, but right now I'm dating a guy and I couldn't be happier. In an ideal world, I wouldn't be doing this video because it shouldn't matter, he said. People will say his dad passed away. He said, people will say, what would your dad say? He always said to me, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. And right now I couldn't be happier. My mom's been supportive. Mom, as they say in Britain. Jen.
Sure.
Yes.
My mom's been supportive as well. All my friends and family have been so supportive, which has been great. I wish everybody this Christmas.
All of his mates are supportive, as is his mom.
In support, as I mentioned yesterday, I think you should come out for Christmas, even if you're not gay. Just to be supportive. Just do it. Just do it. It'll be like that scene in In-N-Out. We're all just trying to support Kevin
Klein.
What
a fabulous window treatment.
Exactly.
Everybody gay!
Right. This Christmas, let's just do it.
I'm Spartacus.
Let's all be a big gay Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
Okay. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Mama has some tea now.
Aww.
Everything should be fine. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. She was delightful, Crystal Bowersox.
She was.
Really her real name?
Yes.
Right.
A farmer from Saxony.
Yes. Exactly, as she did.
And you can get her song Coming Out for Christmas on iTunes or wherever else.
Yeah, I always liked her in American Idol.
Yeah
I never watched, to be honest.
Well, yeah, she was the last person I actually cared about. Yeah.
She was a runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, by the by, we were talking to her about the Cheney sisters. There is a, it's a, there's new, yeah, I think this is getting worse. Mary Cheney is going to headline a marriage fundraiser in the midst of a public flap with her sister. She's going to, over the right for same-sex couples to marry, she announced plans to headline a fundraiser for Freedom Indiana. Yeah, they're very competitive, the sisters. Very, very competitive. Mm-hmm. But she should learn not to compete with her because she's already winning the fight against marriage equality, for marriage equality. All right.
So her sisters.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Sisters.
Oh, and
bitter,
by the way, Liz.
I am right. Not one of your fans.
And yes, Liz, everybody is gay. So there.
Uh-huh.
Including Crystal Bauer Sox. Well, she's bi.
Well, okay.
Right. That one.
Yeah.
It's a new thing. It's the new magic. No labels.
She's the B of LGBT.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. right. By the way, oh, this is nice. This is in holiday, no one can play in our reindeer games news. Oklahoma says if gays can get marriage benefits, then nobody can.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
This is nice. This is lovely. This is all the holiday spirit. To prevent gay soldiers from receiving marriage benefits, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon ordered state National Guard facilities to stop pressing benefits for all service members. Thank you for your service. Happy holidays, everybody. Henceforth, they must trek to either one of Oklahoma's four federally run guard bases or to one of its five installations run by other branches of the military.
Oh, my God.
Just in case a gay accidentally gets to play a reindeer game.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oklahoma is why we can't have nice things.
That's exactly why.
Oklahoma, where the homophobia comes sweeping down the plane.
Sweeping down the plane. In a really manly way.
Yes, the manliest way possible.
Why can't I get this job? Keith Sutherland's now getting paid to drink? Why? Where is that gig for me? Wow. Where is my box wine endorsement? Really?
Sign me up.
This is from Janet Charlton's Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
It's hers. We just live in it.
That's right.
Here's a winning combination. Keith Sutherland and Jose Cuervo tequila.
Hmm.
Yes, the liquor company has hired a functioning alcoholic as their spokesperson.
True.
He has been a binge drinker for years and served 48 days in jail for multiple DUIs. Booze has lured the 24 actor into bar brawls, stripping in public, and assaulting Christmas trees in hotel lobbies.
Tequila.
Sometimes Christmas trees in hotel lobbies have it coming. You know how
it is. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They get uppity.
They get mouthy.
Yeah, right. Mouthy. Mouthy trees.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, Wizard of Oz, anyway.
Janet asks...
How do you like if somebody picks something off of you?
Janet asks, is it ethical for a liquor company to have an alcoholic spokesperson? Or is it a brilliant idea? Who can say?
Wow.
All I can say is, why can't I? It's ethical if I get the money.
Sure.
Could be a reality show. Follow him around.
Travis Franzia has not called? Is that what you're saying? If not, why not? By the by, the Hole of the Day award, as we mentioned, goes to Jebby.
Jebby.
Smart one.
Thought he was a smart one. Shouldn't have said it.
This is just, you can tell who's running for president. He said, why would the president close our embassy to the Vatican? Hopefully it's not retribution for Catholic organizations opposing Obamacare. Couple of fun facts. The embassy is not closing. It's moving. And number two, the decision to move it happened under your idiot brother.
Yeah.
You idiot. You.
What? What are you looking for?
This. I got it. Don't help me.
Did you cup up a phlegm globber on it and you couldn't see it?
I'm in a rough morning. This is pushing a boulder up a hill morning.
Yes.
Sounds like you swallowed a boulder.
Okay. Oh, here's some more bad news for the right. Obamacare to cost billions of dollars less than originally projected.
Aww.
Thanks, Obama. I just got my period again. Thanks, Obama. The sandwich tastes like the inside of my hole. Thanks, Obama. I'm just channeling Jenna Marbles,
yeah.
Don't mind me.
Yeah.
Okay. Among the GOP's myriad criticisms of the Affordable Care Act, one of the loudest centered around the law's price tag. It turns out Obamacare won't be as costly as expected. The New York Times reported Tuesday the government is expected to spend billions of dollars less than originally projected by the law.
Damn it!
The adjusted estimate, a result of the law's Medicaid expansion and the subsidies for private insurance plans, proving less costly than initially anticipated. Mm. Thanks, Obama. Seriously, thanks.
Yeah.
No, really.
Republicans
really?
Are freaking
yes.
out.
Hmm? Oh, he's eating a sandwich, Travis's, that tastes like a Cherry Sucrets?
Yeah.
Like cherry ass. Okay. Hey, Pope Frank, as we were talking about earlier.
Yep.
He, for the first time, publicly discussed the issue of clergy sex abuse.
Ooh.
Telling Catholic bishops from the Netherlands. Now, that's a party.
Amsterdam's a party.
City.
Right. He said, I promise compassion and prayer for every victim of sexual abuse and their families. I ask you to continue supporting them on their painful path to healing undertaken with courage. I just like him.
Wow.
I like the way he's poping Pope Frank.
I kind of do, too. But
I do not worry about his safety.
Yeah. Conservative Catholics in America. Yeah. I hate the way he's poping.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He's not popey enough.
Yeah.
He's exactly the right level of popiness for me.
You think?
Yes. All right. Sexyliberal.com, kids. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Get them their tickets. They is going fast for all the shows. Sexy Liberal, Carlos sells Rocky in with us tomorrow for Coffee with Carlos.
That's right.
Like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, who just gave me a lozenge. And, of course, Travis on phones and drums, who is eating his cherry-ass flavored sandwich. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.